like to read a verse in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. Matthew 17, verse 9. And as they descended from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man be risen up from among the dead." Scripture in Genesis, chapter 32. Genesis 32, and verse 24. "And Jacob remained alone, and a man wrestled with him until the rising of the dawn." Verse 30. "Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he limped upon his hip." The verse in the Song of Songs, Song of Songs, chapter 2 and verse 16. "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth his flock among the lilies until the day dawn and the shadows flee away." And a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. "For as often as ye shall eat this bread and drink the cup, ye announce the death of the Lord until he come." I'd like to say a little more about the Christian's prospect. Wonderful matter to be waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. It's a prospect that, you might say, reaches over sectarian divides, that unites myriads of hearts despite the widespread scattering of the present day, the prospect that Jesus is going to come. You know, the early brethren, I understand, in the houses of many of them, they had up the text on the wall, "It may be today. May be today." I wonder, dear brethren, whether we live in the sense that he's actually going to come. When a soul establishes faith in Christ and proves the value of the work of Christ as being sufficient to take the burden of their sins away, that soul is becoming deeply interested, wants to find out more about the one who could accomplish such a work that sin could be dealt with and sins taken away. And that interest, that deep desire, can only be fully satisfied, fully met in the presence of the Savior himself. Wonderful hope that can burn brightly in the heart of everyone here. I trust it is burning brightly. I trust that everyone here has a link with the Lord Jesus and knows him as Savior, the one who's died to secure you, died to remove your sins and to bring you into a sphere of safety, to bring you into the favor of God, and to give you the prospect of being with him, and that forever. What a climax to that little section in Thessalonians. "Thus shall we be forever with the Lord." That's the wonderful prospect that burns in the believer's heart. May it burn brightly in every heart here. You know, in the encampments in the wilderness of old, in the encampments, the priests, their encampment was towards the east, eastwards towards the sun rising. And as they would waken in the morning, they would look towards the sun rising. In principle, they would be saying, "He may come today. He may come today." But as they looked the other way, as they looked the other way, they would see the smoke from the altar of the burnt offering still ascending. We learn from Scripture that the law of the burnt offering was that the fire was kept burning all night until the morning, never to go out. What would they think? On the one hand, "He may come today."
and on the other, as they saw the smoke of the burnt offering, another day to serve him. Dear brethren, that's our privilege. Either to be here waiting for the Lord Jesus to come, or to be here serving the living and true God, as Paul says in Thessalonians. Oh, let our hearts be kindled afresh as to the coming of Christ, that he's going to come. So many things oft times come into our lives and eclipse the brightness of his coming. And I believe the general affluence known in the Western world is largely to blame for it. Where you have saints suffering for the name of Jesus, I believe there the brightness of the coming of the Lord Jesus is known. Hymn 131 is a testimony to that. Daniel Ott sings him, Lord, with our ears and hearts open, awaiting thy shout, would we be the summons that calls us to heaven. He's soon going to summons us there. No refusing that call. No refusing it. He's going to take us there. And what it'll be to look on him and be with him forever. Before I go on to speak about more about that, I thought it would be worth a while to, in our first scripture, look at the prospect that lay before the Lord Jesus when he was here in manhood. That's why I read this verse. You know, the Lord Jesus came here to die. You young ones, listen to that. The Lord Jesus came into this world to die. He came in to die for sinners like you and to me. To go to Calvary's cross for you and for me. He speaks of it. The Son of Man is about to be delivered up and crucified. That was what lay before him. Death, crucifixion. And Paul says, death, and that the death of the cross. What an awful death was his. But his prospect didn't lie there. He came to die. But according to this verse I've read here, it simply says, until, you'll notice these scriptures are linked together by four untils. A little word, until the Son of Man be risen from among the dead. Until the rising of the dawn. Until the day dawn and the shadows flee away. And finally, until he come. This was what lay before the Lord Jesus. Yes, death. But until the Son of Man be risen up from among the dead. And my friend, he reached that prospect. Because he's risen from among the dead. Yes, he carried out the will of God in its perfection. And that will led him all the way to Calvary's cross. Led him into death. But according to this scripture, these are his words. Until the Son of Man be risen up from among the dead. Wonderful that in this dispensation, God is working on the platform of resurrection. He's working on the platform of a man being risen from among the dead. The one we trust, the one we love, the one we look for to come is one who's been in death and he's risen from among the dead. Glorious Savior. He's got authority and power over the grave. He's wrested the power from Satan. He's set persons free. Those who through the whole of their life were subject to bondage. He set us free. Do you know that freedom? Freedom for what? Freedom to be here, waiting, serving the true and living God, and waiting his Son from heaven, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. I feel, dear brethren, oft times we wander away from the simplicity of Christianity. Oh, let's return to it. What love for Christ means. Love for Christ means that I am prepared to stand here for him, true to him, faithful to him, one object, waiting for him from heaven. Well, this was his prospect. Until the Son of Man be risen from among the dead. In the very reading of the verse, it implies that he would lie in the grave. He lay there. Crucified. Crucified there on the cross. Lay there in the grave. But up from the grave he arose. He's out of death. He's out of death. The writer to the Hebrews says of him, who for the joy lying before him endured the cross, despised the shame. He's out of the grave. Not only in resurrection, but he's seated at the right hand of the greatness on high, seated in heavenly glory and power, enough to fill all heaven. He fills thy presence fully known, alone is worth to thee. Fills God's presence. Does he fill your heart? Does he fill our lives? If he fills our lives, every beat of it, that heart of yours and mine, will be that he might come. So that he says, until the Son of Man be risen up from among the dead. Went there not only to secure an eternal redemption whereby you and I might be set free, but he went there that God's thoughts, God's purposes, God's counsels might be fully secured. These counsels and thoughts have been secured in the death of Christ. No failure connected with God's thoughts, no revision of them, as they were in a past eternity, secured in the death of Christ, so they remain now, secured in the man who's risen from among the dead. So I just thought it would do us well to consider his prospect, as going through death, taking on the burden, the penalty of death, death as a penalty on sin, going through that, but the prospect of being raised from among the dead. He knew as he walked the scene. He knew every man and woman who lay in death. He knew them all. And he knew they would remain in death. But he knew that he himself would never see corruption. Think of the knowledge that the Lord Jesus carried with him as man here. The sure knowledge that he was going into death. But also the sure knowledge that the glory of the Father would be witnessed in him being raised from among the dead. Well, let our sights be raised to see what God has secured in a man out of death, in a man who fills his presence. I read Genesis 22:32 because of Jacob. And you know, we all have an affinity with Jacob. We are quite good at going through Genesis and picking out Jacob's failures, you know. But what about our own failures? What about our own failures? But the section I've read here is not about Jacob's failure. This is Jacob's success. That he remained alone and a man wrestled with him until the rising of the dawn. You see, whilst we await that wonderful prospect that belongs to every Christian, we do await that. But presently, even now, certain prospects can be fulfilled. And what Jacob, in principle, reaches in this section is that he reaches the joy of the favor of God. That's what I want to say about this section. That in all his scheming, in all his planning, he comes to a point of soul exercise where this man wrestles with him. God wrestles with Jacob, and Jacob wrestles with God. And Jacob's tenacity, his committal to his wrestling, to his soul exercise, to his soul struggle, is such that he's not going to give up until the prospect's realized, the prospect of reaching the favor of God. I wonder what we know about God's favor. That's what the gospel brings us into, you know, the favor of God. It says he's taken us into favor. It's an unfolding action. Where has he done it? In him, in the beloved, the one whom God loves. God's taken us into favor in that blessed one. In principle, I think in Jacob's struggle here, he reaches what that means, what the favor of God means. So he holds on. Oh, if I'm speaking to anyone who's going through soul exercise as Jacob went through, and I trust I'm speaking to everyone here as going through some sort of soul exercise. If you are, let me tell you, hold on until the rising of the dawn. Don't give up. The rising of the dawn means that the exercise won't be in vain. The profit will be yours, as the favor of God shines on your pathway and shines into your soul. So that, as I said, we wait for the prospect of seeing Him actually, but presently we have the experience by the Spirit as we go through these soul exercises of knowing a little of what God shining is even now. So He holds on until the rising of the dawn. He's asked what His name is. He said, Jacob, just a sinner, just a sinner. That's what we are, Jacob, a sinner. And He said, thy name shall not henceforth be called Jacob, but Israel. Wonderful. You see, God's working with sinners and bringing them in to the joy of sonship. Prince, that's Israel, isn't it? Prince, sonship. And so when the sun comes up over the horizon, it's the dawning of a new day for Jacob. As the sun come up over your horizon in the exercise you're going through. Maybe a personal exercise. Maybe a family exercise. Business. Maybe an assembly exercise. But as you go through it, keep with it until you experience the rising of the dawn. How sad, you know, to start off in an exercise, an experience with God, and then leave off. The gain is lost. The gain is lost. Oh, hold on. Be like a Jacob. He stuck in there. He held on. And the blessing was his. It says, Jacob asked and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, how is it that thou askest after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, meaning face of God. Well, dear brother, dear sister, you had a Peniel. Not sure if that's how you pronounce it down this way or not, but Peniel, face of God. Have you known what it is practically, not objectively now, but in your experience to touch the warmth and sweetness of the favor of God? Drawn in there, not forced in, drawn in there by the outshining of God's love. Oh, let us, as we go through these soul exercises, speak especially to my younger brethren, as you have to do with God, as you go through these exercises of soul, as to what's going to be uppermost in your life, flesh, or what's of God. Don't give up. Hold on until you get the blessing. That's what Jacob got. He got the blessing. Many things in this world to attract youth away. Many attractions and allurements. Turn your back on them and get occupied with this night of wrestling, this struggle that's going to yield blessing for your soul and blessing for God as well from your life. For he says, for I have seen God face to face and my life has been preserved. You see, he's come into a new day. He's been in Laban country. Spent all these years in Laban country. I suppose he came out with some profit out of it. Come out with two wives anyhow. But he came out of Laban country and he would still be tainted by the features of Laban. I think Laban country is Galatia. I think that's what it is. Servant is to say, hinder me not. Written over Galatia, you know. I think you can say Laban country. Jacob's walking out of that country. He's walking into the favor of God, walking in the Spirit. Three words Paul writes over Galatia. Three words. The answer to the whole Galatian era. Walk in Spirit. Walk as sons of God. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the liberty of sonship. I think in principle, Jacob, or Israel, as we'll call him, Israel, as coming into the dawn of this new day, is coming into the favor of God, as having parted company with Laban country, parted company with the desire to fulfill things in the flesh. And what he's doing now is seeking, as coming into the favor of God, to be occupied with walking in the Spirit. Well, that leads on to the fruits of the Spirit, as Galatians shows. Said it before, you get two things in that chapter in Galatia. You get the works of the flesh, you know. The works of the flesh. That's produced, you know, man-made, the works of the flesh. But when it comes to the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, that's lovely. That's nothing that's manufactured. The fruits of the Spirit is what's genuine, begotten by the Spirit of God in a life that's enjoyed living in the favor of God. Well, this is a prospect that I would encourage us to reach. The rising of the dawn. You know, it's the answer to the night exercise that you may be passing through in your life, in your soul, to reach the shining of God. And when you reach it, it'll show. It'll show you've been through the exercise. Just as it showed that Jacob, he limped. He would never walk the same way again. He limped. As he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. Sunny morning. Just think of it. Sunny morning in your life, in mine. And it says, he limped upon his hip. Doing things differently now. See, a person who's... Paul speaks in the Ephesians. He says, be filled with the Spirit. But earlier to that, he says, be not filled with strong wine, which is debauchery. You know, a person who's filled with strong wine, he acts in a confused way. He walks in a confused way. He thinks in a confused way. But a person who's filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, he acts differently as well. He walks differently as well. He thinks differently. But it's all in relation to God. Or may we walk this way as coming in to the rising of the dawn. Song of Songs, this verse here. I said that Jacob walked out of Galatian territory, walked out of, you might say, legal side of things. But then what we find here is a flock. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth his flock among the lilies. Ah, how lovely. I say, well, walk out of Galatia and meet it by going straight into the world. He feedeth his flock among the lilies. Well, what do we know as being amongst the sheep of his flock to be fed by him among the lilies? Purity of that. The purity of the Word of God. The purity of the work of God. And that's where he feeds his flock. The great shepherd feeds his flock in that area. The shepherd of the psalm, he takes his sheep to the green pastures. Takes them by the still waters. He knows where to take them. This is akin to that. It is leading his flock. He's feeding his flock among the lilies. No worldly influence there. Oh, to be led and to be fed among the lilies. The pure mental milk of the Word, Peter speaks of. The pure mental milk of the Word. To be fed in that area of purity where foreign influences are set aside. And the shepherd, in his love for the sheep, is able to take the sheep along and feed them this way. The lambs as well. The sheep and the lambs. Generally you find these two together anyhow. The sheep and the lambs. Fed in this area where there's purity, where there will be true growth. Won't be stunted growth, nor will there be sudden growth. There'll be true growth growing in the garden of Jehovah. Growth by the true knowledge of God. What need there is for it? To grow under the instruction of Scripture. In the area of Scripture, you know. This is the area of divine breathing. Every Scripture is divinely inspired. What I say may be discarded. The Scripture stands. Every Scripture is divinely inspired. Oh, stand by it. Stay by it. Grow by it. The area of divine breathing. That's what Paul encouraged Timothy. Stay by it. Able to make thee wise unto salvation. So they are. Until the day dawn, the shadows flee away. Until that day, keep you feeding among the lilies. Sometimes he comes into his garden. A chapter later on, he comes in to feed and to gather his lilies. He's a right to do that, you know. He's a right to come into his garden and gather his lilies. He takes one here and he takes one there. It leaves a shadow. But it's his right to gather his lilies. You know, as you look around a company like this, you see all the brethren, and you ask the question, as I'm sure they must ask themselves, is what lies ahead for me? Will it be death, or will it be the coming of the Lord? Until the day dawn and the shadows flee away. You know, as old age comes on, and I don't speak from experience, but as old age comes on, I'm sure the shadows must gather and the lives of older brothers and older sisters. But let this be a word of encouragement to you, dear old brother, dear old sister, that when He comes, the shadows will flee away at His presence, the brightness of His coming, until the day dawn and the shadows flee away. What a day! The dawning of a great day is His day, the day when He comes. Initially, when He comes to take us all to be with Himself. But looking on to that day when He will come onto it into His rights. The day dawn and the shadows flee away. Well, we all know what shadows are. The shadows that perhaps have formed part of your life, of my life, may be lingering there still. But let us have this outlook, this hope, this prospect, that shortly, at His coming, the shadows will flee away. It's as if they cannot stand in His presence. Flee away, just like that. You see the sun coming up over the horizon, if you're up in time. See it coming up, you know. And the shadows flee away. Peter says, the morning star has already risen in our hearts. Is it in your heart? It's the foreteller of the coming day. The sun comes up over the horizon. What a rising of the sun we look for. What a rising of the sun. It's already been witnessed. The sun has risen, Mark tells us. When He rose from the dead, early morning the sun rose. But then, what a rising in that day when the sun rises. Never to fall. We're ushered into that glorious eternal morn. Well, let it be a living prospect in every heart here. It's shortly going to come to pass. Let's speak about it more. And another dispensation, you know, they that feared Jehovah spoke often one to another. Let's speak about positive things. The positive things of Christianity. The great blessings of Christianity. Let's speak about them. So that the Spirit, who's been given as a gift in the meantime, might make these things good even now. The earnest of our inheritance. We're going to come into our inheritance, but He presently, as the earnest of our inheritance, would give us a foretaste of it even now. And we might know the experience of the shadows going away. Well, I know that many dear brethren live with great shadows in their life. Especially you think of these Christians who are suffering in these persecuted countries, in the Iron Country, Curtain countries, you know, the shadows that have befallen their lives through faithfulness to the name of Jesus. But they too will know what you're speaking of, that the shadows will flee away at His coming. In the meantime, what does He do? He feeds His flock among the lilies. Would you miss the local reading? Would you miss it? Experience of being fed among the lilies? Would you miss it? Imbibing the pure mental milk of the word? That's the secret for growth. Yes, I will grant you there's a certain growth and personal experience. I will grant you that. But real growth must be in company with the people of God. There, eternal life is enjoyed. What is eternal life? God's blessing. There, at Jehovah commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And that's in an area where the shadows are dispelled and the day's already dawned. I just touch on this last scripture. Well-known scripture is about the supper. Paul places the supper in this chapter in the local assembly at Corinth. There's a lot of conditions leading up to it, but what I had in mind is just this verse. For as often as ye shall eat this bread and drink the cup, ye announce the death of the Lord until he come. When's that? It's when he comes into his rights. When he who has been cast out and crucified, when he who has been cast aside as worthless, when he comes into the rights that are rightly his, when he's acknowledged and he's owned as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, until he come. What an inheritance he's going to come into, dear brethren. What an inheritance is going to be his. We speak of our looking forward to the coming of the Lord, but think of how he's looking forward to it. The day that comes when he will come into all that is his. The hymn says, Savior, take the power and glory. Claim the nations God has given. Think of all that will be seen that God has given him in that day. In the meantime, it is your privilege and mine to be here, faithful and true to him, and participating in this wonderful, I was going to call it ordinance, wonderful privilege as well. Wonderful privilege, wonderful responsibility as well. Of partaking, being there at the Lord's Supper, answering to his request, this do in remembrance of me. Giving thanks, broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. This do in remembrance of me, and in like manner the cup. Lovely that, you know. On the basis of his shed blood, in that day to come, he's going to bring in a whole world of blessing. Not just a few like what we have here today, but he's going to bring in a whole world of blessing. The world to come will be that. Paul speaks of it, the world to come of which we speak. How do we speak of it? As a prospect before us, that world to come, reigning with him. What a prospect. Paul was looking forward to it as he suffered in that last letter to Timothy, waiting and loving his appearing, to not only to me, but to all those who love his appearing. What his appearing will be, you know. In a sense, it will be greater than the rapture. Rapture included in it, you might say. The lesser included in the greater. The greater being when he comes into the fullness of what belongs to him. The rights denied him, then accorded him. He announced the death of the Lord until he comes. What a privilege to be amongst those who are remembering the Lord Jesus in the day of his absence. I heard of someone who, on her deathbed, she was a believer in Christ, but on her deathbed, she expressed one regret, that she'd never remembered him in the breaking of bread. Oh, take the opportunity now. The time is yours. The time of his absence is the time that calls for your faithfulness, for your loyalty, and that can be demonstrated in remembering him and the breaking of bread. Show forth the death of the Lord. What does it mean? It means that you're showing to the world, that very world that cast him out and rejected him, you're showing to that world that you've taken sides with him until he come. Well, may these prospects burn brightly in our hearts, and may God bless the world. Amen.